But if you're new again to River City, Vision Sunday is something that we celebrate twice a year. We do it the last Sunday of March as we celebrate our birthday as a church. And then we do it again here in the fall, the week after Labor Day. As everyone's getting back from vacation, it's kind of getting back into fall routines, school routines, that kind of thing. And it's just a good opportunity twice a year for us to keep the vision of River City in front of us and celebrate some milestones along the way. So it's always a good time, and we get to share a meal together at the end. So I don't know if you know this about Riverside, but there used to be a train tracks that ran through the town here on the south side, and so now it's a walking trail. And the other day I was I'm walking this trail in Riverside, and I'm praying about Vision Sunday coming up, but I'm just asking the Lord to give me some direction, give me some wisdom, give me some clarity for today. And because I'll be honest, Vision Sunday messages can be really tough. They can be really tough because on one hand, social media and websites and whatnot give me as a pastor full access to what all the other churches are doing for their Vision Sundays. And you can see all of the hype that goes into it. You can see money that they spend on different things to get people fired up. And you can hear what their vision is for their city and for their church and all of these things. So you got all of that going on one hand. And then on the other hand, I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where Paul or Jesus or anyone instructs young pastors to have a Vision Sunday, right? So nowhere in 1st or 2nd Timothy, as the Apostle Paul is writing to this young pastor, does he say, hey, Tim, make sure you have Vision Sunday at least once a year. Make sure you keep a clear vision, clear direction. Keep, you know, make sure you have a good vision statement. Make sure you have some clear values. Make sure that mission statement that you have is memorable and catchy. You don't see that anywhere. In fact, if you read through 1st and 2nd Timothy, you could sum up those two letters from the Apostle Paul to this young pastor with this: preach the gospel, be on your guard against false gospel, and don't quit. Don't give up. Like, that's what you could summarize those in. There's nothing about a Vision Sunday in there. So anyways, I've got these things going on in my mind, and I'm walking on the railroad trail, and I'm praying about today. And if you've been on the trail, you've probably seen this and can guess where this is going. But I come across this informational sign that's right on the trail. And this informational sign gives a little bit of history about the railroad. And so, I don't know, some of you have lived here in Riverside a long time. You maybe know the story better than the sign did. But anyways, the sign tells about the last company to manage the railroad that used to go through Riverside. It was called the Central Iowa Railway, and it took over operations of this particular track in 1974, February of that year. And so here's what the sign said. The sign said, the Central Iowa Railway had one locomotive, among other things, it said this, a 600-horsepower EMD SW1. The railroad's founders gave the blue and black locomotive the unusual unit number of J33-3 after verse 33:3 in the book of Jeremiah in the Bible, which says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and incomprehensible things you do not know. And I'm staring at this sign going, no way. You've got to be kidding me. This is amazing, because you could ask me at any point, you could say, so how did River City get started? How did this whole church come about? And in my humanity and in my short-sightedness, I would probably start to tell you about conversations that I had with the pastors at the church where I was on staff, maybe tell you about prayer meetings that we would have had with Nate and Janine King or others as we were getting ready to figure out what a church would look like, or how God brought certain people along to be part of the launch team or the leadership team. That's where I might naturally go. But what was just re-emphasized to me that day as I'm staring at this sign is that God has been working here in Riverside for a long, long, long time. That almost 50 years ago, there was an open invitation from the creator of heaven and earth written on the side of a freight train that went back and forth from Hills to Montezuma, bearing the welcome of the Heavenly Father, saying, call to me, Hills. Call to me, Riverside. Call to me, Kelowna, Kyoto, South English. Call to me and I will answer you. And so I had my Bible with me, and so I opened it up to, I dug it out of my backpack and opened it up to chapter 33 to read the rest of this chapter. And I loved it. And if you're there with me today, we're going to read a couple verses of this, because the first question to ask is, okay, so it says, call to me and I will answer you. Well, who is the me? Who's the one speaking? And Jeremiah 33 verse 2 tells us who this is. And it says, the Lord who made heaven and earth, the Lord who forms it to establish it, the Lord is his name, says this. Now remember, we talked about this a little bit earlier this summer, that anytime in your scripture you see the word Lord, all capital letters, that's God's personal name. It's his name, Yahweh. God is not his name, that's his job, that's his title. His name is Yahweh. And so when you see Lord in all caps, that's what it's saying. So it could say Yahweh who made the earth, Yahweh who forms it to establish it. Yahweh is his name. In other words, what I'm about to say, Yahweh is saying, what I'm about to say is as secure, is as powerful, is as certain as the words I used when I created and founded this earth. Call to me and I will answer you. And then as I'm reaching for the original River City vision documents, and all of these things are going on, I'm looking at our documents that we had at the beginning of the church, and I'm looking at Jeremiah 33:3, and I'm going, oh my goodness, this all fits together. Didn't even know this. Because our theme verse for River City Church is 2 Corinthians 5:20. And this says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's been our theme verse here. And so the verse on the side of the train is God's voice saying, call to me. And the theme verse of our church is basically the voice of the church saying, yeah, call to him. Be reconciled to him. Another way to say be reconciled to God would just be say, call out to him, be saved by him, repent. And so from the very beginning, the vision of River City is that we would be the active mouthpieces of Christ, continuing to carry this invitation that ran through Riverside on the side of a train 50 years ago. Call out to God, seek him, be reconciled to him. We exist in this city to proclaim the message that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, behold, the new has come. We proclaim that Jesus, who never sinned, willingly, so to speak, put on our name tag that said sinner, standing under the wrath of God, and gave us his name tag, so to speak, which said righteous in God's eyes, standing under God's favor. And anyone who would believe that, anyone who would call on his name, will be saved, scripture says. And so if you've answered that call, if you are truly in Christ, then you're not going to hell anymore. That's good news for us. That's the news, that's the message that we proclaim as a church. It's the invitation that was on the side of that train. Call out to me and I will answer you. And then what's pretty cool, in the verses that follow Jeremiah 33:3, you get to verse 4 and 5 and you see the result of not calling on the name of the Lord. The result of not seeking the Lord was death to the city. There was destruction and hopelessness and despair as they were under siege. God told the Israelites in verse 5 that they had brought this about. He's hidden his face from the city because of all of the evil that they had done. But God's promise to them was bigger than even their own sin, because even though he'd hidden his face from them, look at verse 6. He says, yet I will certainly bring health and healing to the city and will indeed heal them. I will let them experience the abundance of true peace. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and of Israel and will rebuild them as in former times. I will purify them from all the iniquity they've committed against me and will forgive all the iniquities they've committed against me, rebelling against me. And then verse 9 here is wild. This city that was under siege, that was God's face was hidden from them because of their evil. This city will bear on my behalf a name of joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth who will hear of all the prosperity I will give them. They will tremble with awe because of all the good and all the peace I will bring about for them. They will tremble with awe, like, because of all the goodness and the wholeness, the peace that God would give to them. Now, I am not claiming in any way, shape, or form that Jeremiah 33 is written about the city of Riverside, because it's not. It was written to the nation of Israel right before they went into exile. But how amazing would that be if it was written about Riverside or your city where you're from? Nothing against Star Trek, okay? But how amazing would it be if Riverside was not known as the future birthplace of Captain James T. Kirk anymore, but would be known as a place of joy and wholeness and healing and hope? What about that? And sure, maybe this prophecy isn't about the city we're living in, but the God of Jeremiah is the same God who gives that same invitation to us today. This same Yahweh who said, "Call to me and I will answer you," is the same Yahweh who calls to us today and says, "Call to me and I will answer you," inviting us still to call on him, to seek him, to look to him. The same Yahweh who promised health and healing and true peace and wholeness to the city of Jerusalem. The same Yahweh who promised to purify Israel from their sin and their rebellion is the same God who brings health and healing and wholeness and holiness and forgiveness and purity in Jesus. This same God who promised to answer Jeremiah is the same God who has answered us by sending us his own son. Hello? Still with me? Okay. So the picture that we have of River City 5, 10, 50 years from now, whatever, really isn't about what we hope to accomplish. But because our God is a merciful, saving, rescuing, welcoming God, I think we are able to dream that one day the homes, the families, the stories that are told in Riverside and surrounding communities where right now fear and death and despair and darkness were trying to earn their salvation by trying to do better, once was the theme of the story, now would instead be filled with joy and healing and wholeness and rest in the finished work of Jesus as the city answers the invitation of Yahweh to call on him. I think we can dream that way. Because our God is a merciful, saving, rescuing, welcoming God, we in this room can be a group of believers who are so anchored in the gospel of Jesus that as we are his ambassadors in our schools, in the marketplace, in our neighborhoods, on our ball teams or dance teams or whatever, I think we can be so anchored in the gospel of Jesus that every man, woman, and child in Riverside and the surrounding communities wouldn't be able to go a week of their lives without running into someone who is kingdom-minded and can give them hope. And can give them hope. And I don't think that happens by us just ditching all of the old things of the Christian faith and trying to move towards something bigger, better, flashier, faster, more entertaining. I don't think it even happens by us laying out a whole bunch of big new goals for the coming year. I think this citywide movement of the gospel that will impact this city and the surrounding communities will be anchored in God's continued grace to ordinary people through everyday faithfulness and spirit-filled witness. I think that is how we can see it happen. And so since the beginning of River City, here is some of this ordinary faithfulness and spirit-filled witness that we wanted to be about as a church. Let me run off a couple of these quickly. First thing is we love God's word. This is the very first and primary piece of what we wanted River City to be about. We believe that the 66 books that comprise the New and Old Testaments of the Bible are the inerrant, inspired word of God in their original languages. God's word is the final authority for everything it talks about, and it tells us everything we need to know about who God is and what he requires of us. So that's our foundation. That's one thing we will continue to give a lot of time to in our Sunday gatherings. Next week, we are out of the doctrine series that we've been in all summer, and we are back to the book of Luke, picking up where we left off in chapter 12. And so we're going to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, till we get to the end of Luke, right before we get into next summer. Because the word of God is one of the things that we will champion around here, probably more than others, we want you to know how to read it. And so if you're not sure how to read your Bible, on the back table, there are some green bookmarks. And they kind of walk you through how to pray, how to read, how to reflect and respond to the word of God. And so if you're not sure where to start or not sure how to read the Bible, would love for you to just pick up one of those. It's something that you can keep in your Bible and learn how to read it as you walk through reading and praying the Bible. The second thing that we want to champion at River City is that Jesus is central in everything. He's central in everything. We believe Jesus is God's representative to humans and humanity's representative to God. Everything was made for, by, and through Jesus. He's the head of the church. He's the lead pastor. The fullness of God lives in him. And so we're committed to keeping Jesus central in everything we do, in the preaching, in the singing, serving, in the counseling, in all of the ministries that we do. We all want to point to Jesus as our one and only way to God and our hope of glory. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. And so we will intentionally proclaim only that one. He purchased our salvation with his own life, right? God raised him from the dead to prove the cross worked. And right at this moment, the God-man Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, still mediating between God and humanity, praying for us until the day he returns to claim his own. Number three is we don't work alone. We value partnerships. We're committed to partnerships with like-minded local and national churches. So if you've been at River City for a while, or if you're here long enough, you'll see that from time to time, we invite other local pastors and national pastors to come and preach on a Sunday morning. I have the privilege of meeting with a lot of local pastors from Kelowna, Washington, Wellman, Fairfield, Keota. And we get together monthly, and we're working together and praying together to see how God is moving across this part of Iowa. And we're even exploring what it would mean or what it would look like to join forces to plant another church someday. If you've been at River City since the beginning, you know that that's been on our heart, is to send another church plant. And so we're wondering what it looks like to work with other churches to do that. But here's a really cool story about partnerships that I want to share with you. Because this is something that you just don't see every day, and we've benefited from it here at Riverside. So, Andrew Brooks is our middle school youth director. You've seen him up front here before, doing announcements, or he's been talking about youth ministry. And anyways, a year ago this time, we didn't have a youth ministry. We weren't sure how things were going to go. We've been praying for it. We wanted something and just didn't have anybody step forward to lead it. And so anyways, a year ago, Andrew shows up and he came here for a while. And I think at the last Vision Sunday, I talked about our hope of having a youth ministry. And he said soon after, I'd be interested in helping lead that. Got some experience from previous church, would love to help out. So we meet, we start talking about what it would look like to have a youth ministry here at River City. About the same time, Andrew gets a call from a larger church in Cedar Rapids saying, we would love to invite you to be part of a pastoral residency here at the church, where you just come up and spend time with our pastors and our staff, and they kind of train you on what it looks like to be a leader in a church. And Andrew's like, well, I don't know. I just committed to River City to be the youth pastor. I don't know how that's going to work together. And they said, how about you come to our residency for 6 months and we will train you to go to River City? And so he calls me. He's like, what do you think? And I'm going, I would have loved to be able to do that ourselves here, but we don't have the resources or the bandwidth to do that. So yeah, go for it. That'd be great. Then I get a call from the pastor of the church and he says, so what do you want us to teach Andrew? And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is crazy. Who does this? But that's the way the church is supposed to work together, right? That's why we partner with other local churches, is because we don't claim to be the end-all church. We don't have to be the church that has everything all figured out. Jesus is the great shepherd. He's the true pastor, the true builder of the global church. Remember the first thing we talked about last week in the doctrine of the church is that the church belongs to Jesus, first and foremost. He said, I will build my church. And so we can partner with other local churches in the gospel. We don't need to be worried about people leaving our church to go somewhere else. It's not our church to begin with. It's his. And so he can do what he wants to do with it. But the gospel is furthered when we work together. And so Andrew completed that residency, 6 months of it. And he came to lead our youth ministry, equipped more than he was a year ago. And so we're so thankful to Stonebridge and Cedar Rapids for helping us out like that. Our fourth commitment or fourth goal here is we replace ourselves. One of the things we wanted to do from the beginning is we replace ourselves. Because Jesus is the head of the church that he is building, our ministry does not need to rise and fall on the shoulders of a few people and their gifts. And so with that freedom in hand, we want to raise up and train leaders at every level to take the gospel, not just to this city, not just to lead ministries within this church, but to take the gospel to other cities and other neighborhoods, locally or nationally or even around the world. The goal is that leaders at every level, especially at the director level here at River City, would be training people to take their place or at least be able to do what they can do. That way we are bringing people up and we're training people to carry on the message of the gospel. One area that we hope to see this pick up some speed over the next year is through elder training. Last week, as we talked about the doctrine of the church, I mentioned that the biblical model for church leadership in the New Testament is to have a group or a plurality of elders or pastors that work together to lead a church. And so as of now, I'm the only pastor or elder here at River City, but the leadership team is three couples. You've seen Steve Hall and Nate King getting a turn to preach up here from time to time, and both of them are in the process of being recognized as elders. And so we've been meeting together since the spring, and the goal is that by the end of the year or early next year, we'll be ready to present them to you as official elders. That's the goal. But even then, as they are recognized as elders, the first item of business for them and for me will be to start taking others through this process of discipleship, working through scriptures and books so that the work can be shared and additional leaders are trained. So we want to replace ourselves at every level. Number five is we want to serve our city. When God sent the Israelites into captivity in Babylon, he told them to seek the welfare of the city where they were going. Because when the city prospered, they would also prosper. And so it benefits everyone when all aspects of the city are clicking well. And so we as a church want to see our city flourish. We want to see it do well. Over the past year, we completed a neighborhood assessment of the city of Riverside. And as of right now, we're waiting on those final results to be compiled and returned to us. And then hopefully at that point, we'll be able to refer to that booklet and see and be reminded where there are opportunities to follow Christ's example of serving those in need in our city. But because of the gospel, and this is important, because of the gospel of Jesus, we don't need to look at getting involved in the city as ways of padding our stats at River City. We don't need to look at it as we're going out here and we're serving the city, but we really hope everybody comes here. The goal isn't to make River City humongous. The goal is to share the gospel. If River City grows and becomes big, that's fine. But that's not our motivating factor in serving the city. The motivation is that as we serve and honor and love others, we are serving and honoring and loving our King. and he will put the people where he wants them to be. We're trusting him with that. Number six, we champion community. As Janine said in the announcements, community groups are kicking off here pretty soon. And we place a high value on community groups where we give and receive the love and care of a family. There are just a lot of things that the Sunday morning context can do really well for a church, right? We can sing together. We can come under the teaching of the word. Our kids have classes that they can go to and learn at their age level the gospel of Jesus. There's a lot of things we can do well. But there's also a lot of things that require a little smaller context. It's difficult to get to know somebody really well just by coming on Sunday mornings. It's difficult to feel like you belong to something if you're not either serving or involved in a smaller context. And so that's where community groups come in. Last year we had four groups, two in the Kelowna area and two in Riverside. But those groups were at max capacity. I joked with one of the leaders that they had half the church in their group. There was a lot of people coming. And so this year, we're excited to say that we've added two more. So we have six groups total going into this year. Most of these groups are set to kick off next weekend or soon after. And so if you signed up to be in a group, your leader should have already contacted you, or they are furiously texting you right now, because I just reminded them. So one of the purposes for groups is to receive the love and care of the family. There's another purpose for groups that we don't really talk about all that much. And that is to establish a ground game for the church. And what I mean by that is that all across the world today, there are Christian churches in other countries coming under attack week after week, simply for believing the gospel of Jesus and proclaiming it. Pastors are being killed or drug out of their homes, church members imprisoned and their homes burned. I get updates on my Facebook feed almost every day of things that are happening around the world in the global church. And so every now and then someone asks me, so what do you think the future of the church in America is? If or when, is probably better, persecution like that hits our shores. And every time I'm asked that question, my answer is almost immediately community groups. That's where it is. So, by God's grace, we are not at that point yet. But there's no telling how long we in the United States will ride this wave of God's mercy on us before it crashes onto the shore. And when it does, I think we need to be responsible and be ready for that moment. And so I see community groups as one of the ways that we can move forward in times of crisis and times of persecution when that day comes. And obviously no one wants it to come anytime soon, so we're hoping that's a long way off. But that is one of the purposes of groups that we just don't talk about a lot. A third purpose of groups is that we hope that it develops meaningful friendships and fellowship as we open our hearts and our stories to the people that we meet with. Because here's the gospel again, right? We're already loved and accepted and welcomed by our Heavenly Father through the person and work of Jesus. And so as we sit down in groups next to each other, as we share a meal together, we don't have to be afraid of sharing our story because we think we might be rejected. Maybe, I mean, River City is full of sinful people too, and so that may or may not happen, but we never have to worry about the rejection or God saying, oh, please don't tell that story. We have received grace from Jesus, and so we have nothing to lose in sharing our story of what he has done for us, of not just opening our homes, but opening our hearts and our stories to each other. Number seven, we pray. We pray together. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective as it is working, Scripture tells us. And so we're committed to praying together often. Obviously, we do it in our corporate gatherings as we circle up and pray together. But another side of this that we want to champion at River City is that when you're talking to someone after church, before church, in your community group, you're talking to someone at your workplace, and it's just been, and they're telling you how hard something is in their life, that something's difficult. We don't just say, wow, I'm really sorry to hear that. I'll be praying for you and then walk away. Let's pray for them right there. Let's just say, can we pray for you? And go to the Lord right then and there, because we believe that prayer is powerful and effective. And here's a story of that. Someone asked me recently, how did it come to be that you felt a call to plant a church? And then secondly, why Riverside? And while I could sit there and tell you the story of the journey that God took me on, or my family on, or the leadership team on over the last 10 or 20 years that led up to starting the church, when we actually started this and we got here to the city, we realized that the answer to the question, why a church, why in Riverside, really didn't have anything to do with me or the team that led the way. River City came about as a direct result of prayer. As we met some of you, we learned that there have been people in this city praying for 20 or 30 years that God would stir up the gospel here in Riverside, which means that those folks were praying for a gospel-centered church to come into existence while I was still in middle school trying to figure out if girls were cool or not. And the reason I say that is, imagine what effect our prayers are having today. Like, we gather up in our groups and we pray, and maybe after a couple Sundays it kind of becomes old hat, and instead of actually really praying for it, we just sort of mumble through something, and it sort of becomes, you know, not quite as meaningful as it once was. But think about the power that those prayers have. God is able to do stuff even with mumbled prayers. Hello? He doesn't need us to be the ones bringing the power to this whole thing. It's on him. But he invites us to pray. And so we want to move forward praying in our groups, in our community groups, here on Sunday mornings, in our homes, because prayer is powerful and effective. And who knows what God is doing with those prayers even today. A couple other things that I want to quick hit here before we close that didn't perfectly fit into one of those categories. Back to middle school. A minute ago, I talked about Andrew, who stepped forward to lead our youth ministry. And several of you were faithful to open your homes for them to meet on Wednesday nights. But what we found is that after 3 months of meeting, that there was only 3 middle school students that were able to come. And that's totally fine. And while they could continue to meet with 3, it does create a little bit of a challenge if one of those 3 is not able to show up for some reason or another. So as Andrew and I put our heads together on, okay, do we need to pivot here? Is there a change that we need to make? We pulled up the church directory, and we saw that while we were working with 12 to 14-year-olds, there were no 7th graders and 1 8th grader and a few, and the 3 were 6th graders. And so we thought, okay, what if instead of the 6th graders being the youngest, what if they're the oldest? And we looked at that age group from 9 to 12-year-olds. And instead of 3 students in that age bracket, there are 13. And so the thought is, one of the pivots we're thinking about making is that to establish the groundwork for a future middle school and high school ministry, that we could start with the grades right before middle school. And the idea is that this would happen not on Wednesday nights, but on Sunday mornings. And so it would look a lot like, as Kids City is dismissed, the nursery and the Kids City classes, then after that we would dismiss students to their class. And so they would be, the 9 to 12-year-olds would be in class during the sermon, starting in October. That's the thought. And so if you have questions or concerns or thoughts about this, we want to hear from you. So please talk to Andrew, who's in the back. You can raise your, there you go. You can talk to Andrew, or you can talk to myself about that and let us know what you're thinking. But that's one of the things that we are thinking we can do to help not only further Andrew's time and effort, but to also include more students in that. Secondly, at the Spring Vision Sunday, we announced that we were opening applications to bring an administrative assistant on staff. That Janine, who did a lot of our administration, was just had a child, and so there was a lot of different activities now in her home, and I was feeling like I was swimming on some things, and so we felt like this was a good next step for us. And so in early August, Leanne Sexton became our first staff member to fill that role of 10 hours a week. So you'll probably be hearing a lot more from Leanne as we go forward from here. But one of the roles that Leanne has taken over is that of scheduling the people who serve at River City, people that we call ambassadors. We don't call you a volunteer if you serve around here. In my head, a volunteer is just a name on a spreadsheet. You just fill a role and then you go home and eat lunch. But an ambassador is someone who owns the role, who owns the ministry, who owns the message, and says, this is mine, I'm gonna take ownership here. And so that's the goal for those who serve. But anyways, the program we use to schedule ambassadors, like door greeters, coffee, worship team, people who read scripture, kids city teachers, and all that, told me yesterday that there are 84 people at River City who have been scheduled to serve at least once in 2022. So first of all, I just wanna thank you for serving. Thank you for stepping up and owning the ministry of River City Church and serving your church in this way. But 84 people is quite a task. There's a lot of people to keep straight. There's a lot of teams to keep in order. And up until Leanne was hired to do that role and others, that role of scheduling was filled by Gail and Joellen Crow. And so their names were on a lot of the emails that came requesting for you to serve. But here's what I want to say about Gail and Joellen. They took this task on, this massive task of organizing and scheduling volunteers. They took this task on while they were leading community groups, while they were taking care of Gail's elderly father who lived with them off and on. It added a lot of things to their plate. And then they would often write their own names into positions that were vacated by people who were sick at the last minute or whatever. And it became a much bigger thing than we ever thought it would be. And so, as a leadership team, we would like to publicly honor Gail and Joellen for filling this role. So will you help us in thanking them? Thank you. Thank you both for serving in that way. Speaking of the leadership team, last thing is I would like to invite them to come forward, to come up to the front. The worship team, you guys can come on up here as well. If you're new to River City, or you feel like you're new, I know sometimes you're like, who is leading this thing? Who do we go to if we have questions, that kind of thing? And so I would like to introduce the leadership team as they all get here. First of all, Nate and Janine King, you've seen them around. They oversee the finances and business administration of River City. Janine helps lead women's ministry and still is doing a lot of administration as we're handing off to Leanne and that sort of thing. Steve and Kiff Hall oversee men's and women's ministries and Kids City, and kind of fill in wherever else they're needed as well. You've seen Steve up here giving messages too. And then my wife, Jody, who sort of does whatever people need her to do. Sings or helps in Kid City or directs videos or takes photos for the website or whatever. So this is the team that leads you right now. I'm sure there's other things that we didn't talk about this morning that you might still have questions about. This is who you can ask. So come on up and talk to the Kings, talk to the Halls, talk to Jody and I about one of those things. Thank you. So as we close, I would like to invite you to stand. And I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with this before we sing. River City belongs to Jesus. All right? Say it again. River City belongs to Jesus. This church is his. He has full and final authority over everything. And he loves this church and the universal church so much that he gave his life for her. He loves this city more than we ever could. He loves our children and our youth and our men and our women more than we ever could. The doctrine of the church, part two, is that the vision for the church is not ours to determine. It's been given to us by the Word of God and by our Savior. And so let me read some of that vision of the church from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. And so, River City, may we anchor our lives in this grace that has brought us salvation, so that we live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way, eager to do good works until our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us and cleansed us and made us his own, appears in glory. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for this great salvation, this great grace that has appeared for all people for all time in the person and work of Jesus. Lord, you've called us to live in such a way as to bring praise to your name, to bring glory to the name of your Son, to proclaim this gospel that is the work and life of Jesus. And Lord, as that train rumbled through this town 50 years ago, inviting us to call on you with the promise that you will answer us and tell us things and show us things that we would never have imagined we would see. Lord, I pray that as that invitation still stands for those of us in this room, for those of us in this city, for those of us in the surrounding communities, Lord, we know that your word says you will be faithful to your words. So, Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit to be faithful to the call that you've put on our lives, to continue to proclaim and hold up in our lives day after day that we are ambassadors for the glory of God, called to represent him wherever he's placed us. Or would you make us faithful to that call for the sake of your name and your kingdom? Amen.